This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
Good evening, this is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, and we're taking you around the world one more time, one country at a time. A big thank you to T from 6 at 6, which of course is at 6:30 now, and thank you to Richard for the latest local news. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, we have Alex.
Bonsoir.
We have Matt behind the panel.
Good evening.
And myself, Ian.
We've seen here before that LGBTI people in countries where it is either legally or culturally unacceptable to be who they are have to climb mountains in order to make change. Tonight, for the first time, we are in the Central Asian country of Kyrgyzstan, and we are speaking with a young queer man, an LGBTI activist who is climbing mountains both figuratively and literally in order to advance LGBTI rights in his home country and across Eastern Europe.
His name is Dastan Kazmamatov. He's the first LGBTI person to come out publicly in Kyrgyzstan media, and he's the founder of the Pink Summits Challenge. You'll hear about his coming out story, the shocking reaction he received to this, and what is driving him in seeking to climb each of the highest mountains across seven continents, including right here in Australia. Stand by for an inspirational story of incredible resilience.
Still in his 20s, Dastan Kazmamatov has demonstrated he's always up for a challenge. He was the first LGBTI person to come out publicly in Kyrgyzstan media, and he wore a backlash as a result. But he's channeled that into a new challenge to plant the pride flag atop the highest mountains on each of the seven continents. We asked Dastan to start by giving us a bit of an idea about what it's life like to be LGBTI in Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan is unfortunately like a very conservative country. So there are like LGBT people were not like kind of existing sort of like in the political discourse, for instance. Like there were no narratives at all about gay people. And it's one thing. The second thing is that like there was a lot of violence and hate. And basically it's the country where there are like very strict gender norms, and like for instance in my case I was forced to prove all the time that I'm boy, like I'm a man. Yeah, I was supposed to be like, I don't know, a brutal guy that
macho
and macho, yeah, so to say, yeah. And it's very patriarchal society, yeah, and in general, and that of course creates difficulties, a lot of difficulties for us, for queer people, and many of us are not open at all. Actually, there are only a few people whom I know who are like publicly open in Kyrgyzstan.
In fact, you were one of the first.
I was actually the first Kyrgyz who did the public coming out when there was a Human Rights Watch report. Human Rights Watch, they did a research about the police violence against gay people and bisexual men in Kyrgyzstan, and they were looking for a person who gonna tell his story, and unfortunately there was no one. Basically everyone was afraid, and then I decided that like maybe it's time to change this. And yeah,
were you afraid even though you said you would do it?
I was really concerned about my family, yeah, because I was putting my family at risk. Yeah, my parents knew that I'm gay. It was also a very difficult process to accept me, but also like it would be shocking, of course, for my like other relatives and it was shocking. And it's because we have also like this idea of the family honor, like if I'm gay, basically I'm something really bad to like the extended family, to the owner of this extended family. And some relatives do not talk to me any longer or do not say even hi. And but yeah, basically I was afraid that my family, my parents, will face difficult situations, probably even violence. Yeah, but in the end it was okay. Of course there was like a lot of backlash. The religious authority in Kyrgyzstan issued fatwa. It is like a religious law saying that gay people should be stoned right after, the next day after my coming out. And LGBT activists were beaten up and the offices were stoned. Like someone had attacked the offices of the LGBT organizations. So there was like a lot of backlash. Yeah. And of course, online hate speech, it's more or less over now. That actually the whole situation actually led to more coming outs, like public coming outs from activists. So it's we are more visible now. The problem is that our visibility is very like negative. So like all media write about us, which is good, but all the stories are about hate and violence that we face. And I mean, this is like, this is a part of our lives. Yeah, it's like we face hate and violence, but we also do like many other things. Yeah, we are also like teachers, we're like doing arts, we have other many aspects of who we are. And I think those stories are missing in Russian speaking media especially, and that's what I want to change.
When you did speak out publicly in the media and you bore the brunt of that that backlash, both people you know and people you don't know, how did you handle that?
Basically, I try to respond to immediate backlash. Yeah, so like the problem was that after my coming out, the parliament started to discuss a law bill, which is very similar to Russian propaganda law. Basically, the law would not allow any discussion of sexual orientation or gender identities in Kyrgyzstan, and they would criminalize it. So we would go into prison up to 2 years, I think, was it, if that law bill would pass. Yeah, but and we fought back against that bill.
And that was Dastan Kazmamitov, excuse me, on coming out to be a conservative Kyrgyz. In public, coming up, we find... We hear that Dasan's bold plan to conquer new heights and his experiences on Mount Kosciuszko in Australia. You're on Worldwide Wave.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
Wait.
Whitney Houston and Kygo, which is a remix of a track actually that was on a Japanese CD from about 15 years ago, believe it or not. So it's not a new track, it's a remix track.
And why are we doing high type songs?
Oh, because we're climbing mountains.
We are. We're doing the seven summits.
We're climbing seven mountains, not every mountain.
With Dastan from Kyrgyzstan. You can send us your messages on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We had one come in on Facebook about the story from during the week. The lesbian deputy mayor of Tel Aviv says Israel's treatment of trans people is an urgent problem. And Nikolai actually says, well, it might be a problem, but I wouldn't put it at the top of the list of Israel's human rights abuses. You can message us on Facebook. W3JOY will send you news throughout the week.
Maybe you have another opinion on that. Post it on Facebook right now. You may not agree with that opinion. That's what Facebook's for.
We are watching.
Indeed. Okay, tonight we're speaking with LGBTI activist and now mountain climber Dastan Kazmamitov. Dastan has been explaining how the timing of his coming out impacted debate on a Russian-styled anti-gay propaganda law being debated in a Kyrgyz parliament. But we also wanted to know about the impact on him personally as a young queer person.
Me personally, I was working hard to bring awareness about that and like outreaching to international organization to make more pressure onto the government that they stop it. And they stopped it. Yeah. So, but there was also a like personal backlash when I was in danger and I had to flee to neighbor country, Kazakhstan, for a while. Which is also not the best country like to be at as a gay person, but still it was like a temporary solution. In Kyrgyzstan, I was beaten up. I experienced hate in the streets because like people started to recognize me. And in the gym, I went once to a new gym, and the owner of the gym told me that I have to go with him to another room because. Yeah, basically he said that like people are telling that I'm gay and they would like gather together and they're gonna beat me up. So I have to leave the gym right now. So, and I was lucky that the owner was like more or less okay, that like he actually told me that it's a dangerous situation. So like it's, there were lots of situations like that. My parents were also really worried, and I decided also to continue to pursue my education, master's degree in Europe. So, and that's how basically I handled it for now.
For you personally, though, that must have been, you're only very young, that must have been a lot of pressure. Was there anyone you could talk to? Was there anybody who supported you?
Definitely, there were my co-activists supported me, especially after my coming out to my parents. It was a very emotionally difficult because basically my parents wanted to heal me from homosexuality, so to say. And that led me to strong depression and becoming an activist and like fighting against hate and discrimination with my friends was making me alive, yeah, basically. But of course, there were situations that like I just like tried to escape from that. And one of the ways that I did it was like hiking. Kyrgyzstan is a very mountainous country, and there are lots of places where you can be basically alone. And there in the mountains, I felt safer rather than in the city, because in the mountains I was free. I was like away from the police, the state. I was away from the violence, from the people, basically. And
is that where where the idea, where your inspiration to climb seven mountains on seven continents came from?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's a big part of it. Yeah. So because mountains were also providing some sort of shelter, like psychological shelter to me, but also that's also partially why I started the campaign. But the more important thing was that I felt that the media landscape in Kyrgyzstan and in Central Asia or in Russia, yeah, like in all Russian, whole Russian speaking region, was very one-sided, yeah, about LGBT community. And I wanted to bring new stories. So I was also first Kyrgyz who cycled from Kyrgyzstan to Europe, and I was collecting some LGBT stories on the way, and it was all in Russian. And on that trip, I heard the story of people who are doing the Seven Summits, but they were doing it for other issues, and I thought, oh wow, that would be like something really, really mind-blowing, yeah, for Central Asia, yeah, and for Kyrgyzstan especially. And I just like decided at that moment I wanna and I will do it.
The first mountain that you took on was Elbrus in Europe. Tell us about that moment when you got to the top and you unfurled the pride flag.
That was a moment full of excitement and pride, because not only because like of course the whole ascending part was of course very difficult, yeah, there was a strong wind, we were it was basically a snowstorm, and it was very hard to get up to reach the summit. But I had that moment of pride and excitement also because we were very close to Chechnya, where gay people are tortured and killed in the prisons. And that was very important for me, that rainbow flag was waving in the most conservative and homophobic part of Europe and of Russia. I had also concerns about my safety, because there were also other people around, also local people and local guides, for instance. And I was actually very concerned what was going to be the reaction of people. But I was lucky.
That's Dastan Kazmamatov on the highs and lows of coming out and scaling mountains. Of course, there's lots of support for you if coming out or any other issues here in Australia. Lifeline on 13 11 14 and QLife 1800 184 527. But I do love the fact that as much as he was having trouble in his life and dealing with it, he went to the mountains, and these mountains became this safe haven for him to relax and escape all the pressure that he was under.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's not alone there. I know my own mother would associate with that, because mountains for her have always been a comfort, in the way forests are and other natural landscapes. I mean, there's no something about being in solitude away from humanity.
But you then didn't think, hey, I'll climb the seven highest mountains in the world.
But now I want to.
You do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I love hiking as well, but this idea is really interesting. But does that mean he's going, hold on, what's this? Because I was counting them off on my hand before. The continents, are we talking including Antarctica?
Yes, there is one in Antarctica.
There would have to be.
That's called Vinson. And the plan is, I'm just looking at their website now, that they'll be doing that in 2020. 2020.
Yeah, so this is a long-term project, and they're just working away at it. They're
Maybe
actually
I can join them for that one.
That's right. Why not? So they've done two. So we'll hear about Australia very shortly from Dastan, and they're just about to head off on their third one. Actually, we've just popped on Facebook to a photo of Dastan at the top of Elbrus in Europe with the Pride flag. Great image. If you go to World Wide Wave on Facebook, W3 Joy, and you can check out that image there. We've got more of Dastan's story coming up. You're on World Wide Wave.
Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy.
Hi, this is Anastasia from the Svelte organization, Russia on the World Wide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, World Wide Wave. Tonight we've stopped off in Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan in East Asia, East Central Asia. Climbing the highest mountain in Europe achieved two milestones for Kyrgyzstan LGBTI activist Dastan Kazmanitov. The first in making it to the top, and the second in raising visibility for LGBTI people, both in Kyrgyzstan and also in Russia. But then what came with that was online haters. We asked him how he handled a new round of vicious online attacks against him.
I partially, of course, expected it, but it was, like, again, emotionally hard for me because it's reminded me those days after the previous backlash, after my public coming out. Because, again, to read all those hate comments, hate speech online, all those personal threats and messages, and I felt like, okay, I have to do something about this. I have talked to my friends, and we came out with this really good idea that we're gonna turn every hate into positive action. So I document basically every single hate message that I get or comment, and I will collect them in the end, and then I'm going to fundraise for every hate message. So the more hate I'm going to receive, the more money I'm going to fundraise for LGBT organizations.
It's a fantastic idea. You must have such resilience to not just take on the summit, but also take on the haters as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to turn this into something positive.
You have also taken on and conquered your second mountain, which was our very own Mount Kosciuszko here in Australia. We're a little bit shorter than the other mountains you're taking on. How did you find your Australian experience?
I enjoyed it, especially the drive through Australia, because it's like completely different experience for me, like driving on the other side of the road, seeing the wild animals on the way. So it's like the whole trip was very, very interesting. But the mountain itself is like, yeah, it's quite little, I would say. It's more like a nice hiking tour. It was really nice. I would recommend to go there. It was covered with snow. I think it was early October, yeah. You can still feel like it's like very alpine landscape. Yeah, of course, it's not like super high summits, but it's beautiful. Like I would go there again.
Excellent, but you've got another five mountains, including Mount Everest, to get through. You've now got some extra people in your team, some extra mountaineers that have joined you, and in fact, you're open to more help.
Exactly, yeah, and we are at the airport right now, and we're flying to Kilimanjaro, next mountain. And in the beginning, there was basically only me, but like there are more people joining. Most of them are from Europe. Stefan is from Germany. Hans Martin is from Norway, and Christian from the UK. And we are looking for more people to join us. And it can be one mountain, doesn't matter, or it can be preparation courses for certain mountains. So we're really open, yeah, and especially if queer women can join us as well.
So we'll definitely be putting that out to our many listeners around Australia. Bringing it back to Kyrgyzstan, it sort of occurred to me when you were talking before that really you had no visible role models from the LGBT community in your growing up and coming out. How do you feel? I mean, you've now got a media presence and you're making a few waves in Kyrgyzstan. How do you feel about being a role model for younger LGBTI people who might be finding their way?
That's also actually a reason why I'm doing, for instance, these campaigns, and I did previous campaigns, because those messages that I got from young gay people writing to me and saying, hey, like, thanks to you, actually, I accepted my sexuality, or, like, thanks to you, I even didn't know that, like, gay people actually exist in Kyrgyzstan. I mean, like, I'm just, like, full of emotion when every time when I receive such personal messages from people. And I hope I can outreach to more people, not only in Kyrgyzstan, but in the whole region and in Russia as well. And even outside of Russia, yeah, that's why I try to document everything in two languages, in English and Russian, and to inspire, yeah, other people like me to do cool things and to continue to fight, to live, even if they face hate, violence and discrimination in their lives.
It's such an exciting and very much epic project you've taken on. We will be watching you. I'd love to actually have a chat to you on your journey. I know it's got a few more years to go, but we'll keep in touch with you. And congratulations on the work that you're doing. So, Dastan Kazmamatov, thank you very much for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you a lot.
All of a sudden, I feel so inadequate. I could not contemplate doing such a challenge, I don't think, and doing it in order to raise for visibility and get the message out. Alex, you're pretty excited, though. I'm fully on board.
There'd be a few reservations on certain peaks. I don't think I'd be doing Everest, and I don't know. Antarctica sounds pretty scary, but it would be pretty amazing. But yeah, no, I love the concept. I love these sorts of things, and I think because for years I've been planning on doing El Camino or something along those lines, as cliched as that is, but some sort of like extended walk, and so this is an interesting one.
And let's be clear, Dastan wants LGBTI people of any colour of the rainbow to join him on his journey. So we've got the you can find him on Facebook or also sevensummits.com. So definitely welcome to come along. He's definitely ticking the box of what he was achieving, the visibility, and I love that. It has already generated. If only one person sent him a message and said, hey, seeing you has helped me on my journey of coming out or being accepted. But he's had lots of those. So he's already, he's only two mountains down. They're just about to take on Kilimanjaro. He's already achieving that goal of getting a positive image out there of LGBTI people in his neck of the woods.
Hmm. I wonder what the situation will be like when he goes to, say, Kilimanjaro or one of these other mountains where the country itself doesn't have a super record, or from what we understand, generally speaking, not necessarily at an individual level, but generally speaking, they're not particularly positive towards LGBT people. I mean, are they going to be out and open about what they're doing?
I think arguably he's ticked off the worst already, which is, as he said, on the border between Russia and
Elbrus Mountain.
On Russia, near Chechnya, I mean, which is a part of Russia, of course. So
and they did sort of they he did sort of say there that they hesitated. They were, you know, they were course. Keeping an eye on things. But hey, I mean, for the other people that were around, if you've all gone through that really challenging trek to survive snowstorms and all that, are you going to have the energy to, you know, start to take on somebody because of their sexuality or perceived sexuality?
I would assume that the people who are making the effort, I think people who are mountain climbers probably around the world are extraordinary people in their own way, and probably not the, you know, the your average homophobe out there is probably not going to be big into climbing mountains and pushing themselves, but you never know. I tend to think you're in pretty safe territory. But nonetheless, the fear must have been, you know, because you don't know who's, I mean, that particular experience that you described must have been nonetheless a bit worrying.
A few other good things I sort of took out. Although he had those sort of challenging first experiences with his parents, and indeed he was actually afraid that his coming out would lead to attacks on his parents, so he was more worried about their safety than his in terms of coming out. But he sort of got through that with his parents, and they're now on his side. And the gym owner, in sort of seeing, hang on, there's trouble brewing here, sort of went out of his way to look after him, get him out of trouble's way. So I think there's, to me, there's these seeds of goodness coming out from his story.
Yeah.
And it gets back to that whole visibility thing, that it's very easy to be scared of something you don't know anything about, but if it's somebody that you know, then it sort of, it forces you, it's, you know, it's very Harvey Milk, come out wherever you are, you've got to tell everybody, and then it forces people to confront their own fears.
Yeah, and also creates that idea, of course, the breaking down this idea that gay men in particular are sort of soft, weak and non, you know, they're not...
Not macho.
And what he's doing is, let's face it, a relatively athletic, I won't say macho because it's, but just a, you know, a...
It's a, bold.
It's a bold,
I could
strong
not do it.
Thing to do.
I could walk up Kosciuszko, but then again, he was sort of...
You missed the easiest one.
I think he was
one.
Being too... polite with, you know, we were sort of saying, well, ours is not the highest mountain, but he's being very polite to us, I think. We've got to, yeah.
Yeah, especially as the fact you can get halfway up there by road car, but, you know, it's still, as you said, it's a beautiful landscape up there.
Perhaps with all those stories of Everest and the traffic jams, there'll be a rainbow traffic jam. A whole lot of queer people in a line getting to the top of Everest.
Yes.
That'd be a nice
image. I have a question mark around Everest and just about the whole building of the commercial tourism around that and its safety and what it does to local communities. But I think otherwise, just take that away, because I don't want to be critical. I actually think it's really important to have heroes. And we all have, you know, it's important to have heroes of all shapes and sizes. And, you know, so, heroes who are adventurers are particularly important for some people, and for other people they'll be a different type of hero. But we need heroes in all shapes and sizes. He's doing great
indeed
work.
An inspiration, and we will keep an eye on him as he journeys on across the Seven Mountains. This is Worldwide Wave. Coming up, Worldwide Rap.
It's Roman Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia for Worldwide Wave.
a very classy track from Chaka Khan. Move Groovy. Me No Mountain from the album Naughty.
Very groovy, very chilled. Mm. A big shout out to Kieran, who's just followed us on Facebook. Kieran will keep you posted with all the latest LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Follow us at W3Joy on Facebook. And in fact, we've just posted as well the link to the Seven Summits project. So if you are a LGBTI person who wishes to go mountain climbing with Dastan and his troop, that's where you'll find it. Go to W3Joy on Facebook now.
And thank you to, yes, our Facebook messages, Martin, Elvis, Crystal, Nikolai, and a heap more have joined us tonight. And the SMS and emails, and behind the scenes, that's me, the podcaster, and social media master, Dean. I thank
Doing
myself.
A great job.
And, of course, front desk, that is...
Andy.
Andy, thank you.
Stay tuned for Bad Gays with Helen and Alex, for everyone who doesn't quite fit the stereotypes.
And they're getting freaky with music tonight. I don't know quite what that means, but it sounds interesting. And they have a segment called Word of the Week, but it's Words of the Week. And they're actually talking about internet lingo. Now, I need to listen in on this one because, you know, when people put all those little abbreviations and everything, and I've lost touch
and
with
them. And you just go WFT.
What's that one? Yeah.
Okay. Right, so, well, lol, we're going.
Bad Gays coming up, and then stay with us all night. Triple Bypass at 9 and Soul Provider at 10. Taking us out, we need a bit more mountainous music tonight. Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
A classic.
It's a classic. We will catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
TTFN.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.